Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Growing up, before we had dogs of our own, we would visit my aunt and uncle, and they had a little dog named Candy. And during meal times, right, she would sit near the table and get up on her hind legs and beg, watching my brother and I like a hawk for something to fall from the table. And I tell you the truth, she didn't have to wait long because usually, much to my aunt and uncle's displeasure, my brother would purposefully drop some of his food on the floor. And as soon as he did, Candy was right there to just gobble it up. Of course, the food that was dropped, it wasn't intended, not initially, for Candy, but she certainly enjoyed eating what was dropped on the floor. And it turns out that whenever we would come for a visit, Candy always seemed to get much more than just crumbs. Dogs begging crumbs. It's the theme that comes up in our gospel reading. Only when it does, of course, there isn't any real dogs there. There's a person, a Canaanite woman. And this Canaanite woman is compared to a dog. Now, if that sounds harsh and insulting to be compared to a dog, well, it's because it is. No matter how much our dogs are part of our family, like Candy was to my aunt and uncles, you don't go around calling someone a dog, right? It's demeaning. It's to say that someone is less than human. It's, by and large, the case today as it was in ancient times. So what does it mean when Jesus makes this dog reference? Let's look at the context. Jesus, we read, withdrew because he had just finished thoroughly offending the Pharisees by speaking truthfully about their misplaced piety. It appears that Jesus isn't too concerned with offending people's sensibilities by telling it as it is. Because the time wasn't yet for him to be betrayed and handed over, he went to Tyre and Sidon. You might think, well, so what? Well, these are cities of the Gentiles. This wasn't the place that you would expect a Jewish rabbi to visit, because in going there would violate Jewish purity laws. And yet, there Jesus was. And while he was there, something quite out of the ordinary happened. Look, who should come up to Jesus but a Canaanite, a descendant of the Old Testament people who were supposed to be wiped out in the giving over of the promised land to the Israelites. Those who worshipped false gods and who had temples filled with idol worship. On top of that, this Canaanite is a woman. According to the customs of the culture, there should be absolutely no communication between these two genders and these two nationalities. The Israelites, they look down upon Gentiles, particularly as Canaanites, as dogs, and would see them as, well, less than human. But look, this woman, this Canaanite woman, addresses Jesus with this title. She calls out, Lord, not once, but three times in these short verses. Now, that's how a disciple would address Jesus. It is vastly different in the way that the Pharisees would address Jesus. This Canaanite woman addresses Jesus of Lord. Why does she come to see him? Why does she seek him out? Well, we're not told, but presumably someone told her about what Jesus has done. The feeding of the 5,000, the healing of the sick, and so forth. Remember Romans 10 that we read last week, where Paul writes that faith comes by hearing? Hearing of the good news of Jesus? What is so remarkable is that this Canaanite woman addresses Jesus as Lord and then begs. Begs from him for mercy. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. I mean, such a plea for herself, for her daughter. Right? One doesn't beg mercy unless utterly desperate. Unless all other help or hope has failed. This cry of mercy is directed to the only one who could possibly do something for this woman and for her daughter. It's directed at Jesus, Son of David, God's Messiah for Israel. Only Jesus doesn't immediately answer her plea. The call for mercy is met by silence. The next voices that speak are the disciples. Jesus, get her away. She's calling after us. Just give her what she wants. We don't need her or her kind following us around. Get rid of her. She's less than human. It's sad, but here again, the disciples show their limited grasp on who Jesus is and what he has come to do. Then Jesus speaks and he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The disciples have nothing to say. They're silenced, but surprisingly, this Canaanite woman is not. Kneeling before Jesus, she begs again for mercy. Lord, help me. Jesus responds this time to her plea, but with a short proverb. The food for the children shouldn't be fed to the dogs. It's a proverb that my aunt and uncle would have agreed with wholeheartedly. But surprisingly enough, this Canaanite woman doesn't kind of take offense or run away, but she in fact agrees with what Jesus is saying. Yes, Lord, she replies. You are right. I don't deserve what you have. But she responds with a proverb, and she says, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She agreed to and submitted to Jesus' purpose of being sent for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but she has the faith to see that the food for the sheep was also enough for the dogs. The same hand graciously provided for both the children and for the pets, so to speak. Jesus reveals something about God. He reveals God's that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that is his nature to provide. He had fed the lost sheep gathered in the desolate place. Remember that? Some 5,000 who were gathered. And do you remember what the aftermath was? That there were 12 baskets full of crumbs and scraps that were left over. And now here, this Canaanite woman was to benefit from the scraps. The same gracious hand of God that provided for the lost sheep also provides for her, not only to the lost sheep of Israel, not only is Jesus revealed to be the Messiah who saves and redeems Israel, but the one who also graciously provides salvation and redemption for the Gentile dogs as well. As we read a little bit in our Old Testament reading today, that salvation is for all. What faith! This Canaanite woman saw herself rightly as one who is not one of the lost sheep of Israel, not an heir to the promises made by God to Israel, perhaps also from the perspective of the Israelites, a dog of a person. She understood, though, that neither nationality nor gender should earn her an audience with Jesus. She understood that there wasn't anything in her to merit God's mercy or grace toward her. And yet Jesus' mercy comes through. Now that may be plain enough for us to see from the text. But I suggest that perhaps what may be more difficult for us to see, what we may not want to see, is that you and I, all of us together, we stand squarely in this Canaanite woman's sandals. I often fail to see myself as clearly as this woman did. She knew she wasn't an Israelite. She knew that she wasn't one who deserved to call upon the Son of David. But she did know her need for Jesus, and that he was the one to go to for mercy. When I read these words from Holy Scripture, I'm confronted with the question, well, do I see my need for mercy so acutely as she did? What about you? Do you see your great need for the Lord's mercy? Do you cry out to him to be gracious and merciful to you and for others? Do you see yourselves as dogs waiting for scraps to fall from the master's table? I'm not an Israelite, an heir of the promise of the old covenant. I am a dog of a Gentile, and I need Jesus' mercy. You need it. Because truth be told, we can't save ourselves. We can't heal ourselves, free ourselves from afflictions. We cannot forgive our own sins as much as contemporary culture teaches us to forgive ourselves. No, we need Jesus to forgive us. We need Jesus to have mercy upon us. Jesus is never impressed with our attempts to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps any more than what he was with the Pharisees. And yet, Jesus still came to the Pharisees. They weren't satisfied with the food that he had to offer. And neither will we be until we are emptied of all self-reliance and pride. Only when we come to him begging as a dog will we find satisfaction in his mercy, his compassion and forgiveness and his provision for us. The forgiveness of sin, it's for all people. Jesus, God's Messiah for Israel, died for all people. But only the repentant receive this forgiveness in faith toward Jesus. Right? For what good is salvation if you believe that you can save yourself? Thanks be to God that our Lord comes to us, that we might learn to see ourselves rightly, that we might despair of our own efforts and attempts to save ourselves, and instead cling tenaciously to Christ in faith for our salvation. Right? This we do here in this place, in Sunday service, as we remember our baptism into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we immediately confess our sin to God, our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. Through the Word, we see ourselves rightly before God as His saints in Christ through baptism. And yet at the same time, still sinners who struggle. So we confess that sin to God and in front of one another that we can't save ourselves. We plead to Him for mercy. How horrible would it be if we gathered in this place on a Sunday morning and we confessed that we are by nature sinful and unclean, we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, and we have called out to God in mercy, and then we hear silence. How condemning would that be to be left with our sin, as it seemed to have been for the Canaanite woman in that first experience of silence from the Lord. What weight would remain upon our hearts and our minds? But thanks be to God, His word of forgiveness is proclaimed immediately. His called and ordained servant announces in His stead and by His command the forgiveness of your sin on account of Jesus' work on your behalf. It truly is good news to receive that answer of your pleas for mercy. What a blessed gift it is. What a blessed gift it is to hear of Christ Jesus and the reality of your forgiveness through Him. What a weight is lifted. What joy fills your heart. Well, your sin, your idolatry, your greed, your gossip, your adultery, all of it has been taken away by Christ. He has had mercy on you. It's just one way in which we receive God's mercy, and it's given to us in this church. But it's not just given for us to hold on to, right? The gift of mercy and forgiveness is given to all the church, to be used by the individuals who are the church in their everyday vocations. Wives, when your husbands come to you and ask you forgiveness, to show mercy to them, perhaps begging like dogs, right? You have the privilege to forgive as in Christ you yourselves have been forgiven. It works that way in all of your family relationships, in your workplace, among your friends. Christ's mercy and forgiveness is a gift, not just for you, but a gift to be shared. Over and over and over and over again. Right? Daily we need Christ's mercy and forgiveness and beg it like dogs. Daily we may be merciful and forgiving to others. My aunt and uncle loved candy as their own. Their two boys, my cousins, as they grew and moved out of the house, candy remained, and I'm pretty sure that my aunt and uncle were generous with the scraps and the crumbs that found their way onto the floor for her. But I'm pretty sure of this, that no matter how much they loved her, little Candy never got up off the floor onto a chair, joined them at the table for dinner, right? There were no cans of Alpo set out on the good china with Candy sitting right there at the table. Beg all she wants, she still got crumbs, right? You know, we once were Gentile dogs cut off from the people of God, but now on account of Christ, we're called God's children. And we're not begging on the floor, but we are answered in our cries for mercy to join our Lord even at the table. Where at the sacrament of the altar, he hears that plea for mercy and he gives us far more than scraps and crumbs. He gives us the very body and the blood of Christ Jesus in an answer for a cry for mercy to forgive our sins. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He hears the cries of all for mercy and he answers. He answers with his word and sacrament given and shed for us all. How merciful the Lord has been to us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.